Hello, everybody. And it's nice to see you folks. Really cheers my heart to see so many people coming in. Tonight's theme is, where's tonight's theme? Here it is. Defining our priorities in life. If you want to follow Jesus, what should your priorities in life be? Let me tell you about two people I know. The first person I know is called Derek, but it's not that Derek I'm talking about, okay? Hello, Derek? Hello. Yeah, but it's not that Derek. Although it's a friend of his from way, way back. This Derek was a friend of mine at school. And when we sort of got to the end of second year at school, we sort of lost touch with each other. You know how you make friends and then everybody changes over summer holidays or something and suddenly you're hanging out with another bunch? Well, that sort of thing happened. And I lost touch with this Derek. I mean, he was still there, but I didn't see him all that much. I didn't hang out with him all that much. But I know that when he was in his teenage years, he got involved with church. I wasn't involved with church at the time, but he got involved with church. And he became a Christian. It was a guy called Arthur Blessett, and he was a really amazing guy. He started in California with a big cross that size. And he had wheels at the bottom, so he sort of cheated. But he walked with that cross all around the world just to see what would happen. And he got into the most amazing life-changing conversations as a result. So if you're ever bored, just have a word with that, Derek. I'm sure he'll put wheels on that cross for you, and off you go. Okay? But anyway, he's a very good speaker, very amusing speaker. And he told some remarkable stories, some amazing stories, some mind-boggling stories, hair-raising stories about people he met. And this person who used to be my friend called Derek, not that Derek, but the other Derek, became a Christian. And he got really fired up with it. I remember him around about sixth year, there was this Derek, and he was telling everybody about Jesus, and it was just amazing. I mean, I was having none of it, you know. I was cool. And then I lost touch with him completely after that. I heard he went to Australia. And then we had a school reunion about 10 years ago now. And he organized it because he was back in Scotland just for a few months living with his family across the Forth in Abernethy, I think it was. And I met him at the school reunion. And I invited him around. He came around to my house. And by then I was a Christian. So I was all fired up. Yeah, Derek. Oh, my goodness me. And I remember asking him, "So how's your faith?" And I remember him saying, "Oh, no, I don't bother that sort of stuff anymore. Nah. I've sort of grown out of that stuff." I remember how sad I felt. Because I'd sort of grown into it. He'd grown out of it. The second person I want to tell you about is someone called Andrea. I met Andrea at her mum's sister's funeral that I was taking. And I can't remember where it was. It might have been here in the church. It might have been somewhere else. But Andrea, she was really interested in the whole Christianity thing. And she started coming along to Liberton Kirk. And she came along to an Alpha course. And she was really one of these really useful people. If I say really once more, shoot me, okay? She was one of these very useful people in a group because she was asking all the right questions. And apparently, she used to belong to a church. I think it was a Baptist church. And when she was young and growing up, and then she sort of drifted away, a bit like Derek. Not that Derek, but the other Derek. And he's still with me. And just hearing the gospel at the funeral drew her back in. And she said things like, "You know, I feel as if I've been asleep for 15 years. And suddenly I've woken up again. And I want to read the Bible again. I want to talk to people. I want to share my faith, blah, blah, blah." And it was amazing. And then gradually she drifted away. And I haven't seen her for years. And then I met her about 2 years ago at a funeral here in the church. Another funeral. I said, "Andrea, how are you doing? Are you still involved with church?" She said, "Nah, I'm into Buddhism now," she says. I wonder how many people you know who are a bit like that. You know, they get all worked up and passionate about Jesus. And it's real. You know, it really is real. And something happens. And And the next time you bump into them, it's like a light's gone out. It was like that with Derek. He was almost embarrassed to talk about it. It's like that with Andrea. It's like a light's gone out. And Jesus gives us two images to help us understand this. One's a sort of negative image. And I think it's meant to encourage people like us to carry on sharing the gospel, whatever happens. But not to worry, because it's God's job to get into people's lives. And it's the image that we always hear about from Andy at Summer Holiday Club. Can anybody tell me what that image is? Anybody here ever been to Summer Holiday Club? Summer Bus Club? None of you ever been to Summer Bus Club? Yeah, John asked. Good, good. What's the image Andy always uses at Summer Bus Club? Yeah, it's the seeds. That's right. And it's based on this passage in Mark's Gospel. It's all right. You can have your conversations later. This is not about blaming people or poking people in the back. Right. This is from Mark's Gospel. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. He said, Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell in rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on the good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, multiplying 36 or even 100 times. And Jesus said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Right. So there's this the farmer throwing the seed, and it's all about the soil. What kind of soil are you? So what kind of soil is the path? No, that's the stony soil. The path is not the stony soil. Don't stick your tongue out at me. What kind of soil is the path? What does the path stand for? Sorry? Walking, yes, all right. What does the past and where it stands? But in real life, like in terms of people, who are the path? Yes. Bounces off, and they don't even notice it. Okay? Who are the stony soil, Susan? Who are the stony soil? Yeah. And they spring up all enthusiastic, and sun comes out, withers them, and their faith dies away. So, you know, who are the weeds? I'm looking over here because you guys haven't had a chance to answer yet because they've been so quick. I'm now giving you that chance. Who are the weeds? Claire? Yeah, the worries and concerns. Yeah, they drag them down so they don't bear much fruit. They're still living, but it's not a full life. It's not the life God intended to live. And who are the people who land in the good soil? Yes! Yes, big round of applause. Excellent. The ones who go out and bear fruit. Okay, so that's one image Jesus uses to help us understand what happens to people like Derek, what happens to people like Andrea. But it's a sort of negative image. It's sort of, don't worry, you did your best type image. Okay? He actually uses another image, which is, I think, a lot more positive, and it's in John chapter 15. Listen, I am the vine, the true vine. My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit in me he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in God, you will bear much fruit. Because apart from me, you can do nothing. So the aim, our aim in life as disciples is to bear fruit. Do you get that one? You all agree with that one? Not if you agree with that one. Our aim is to bear fruit. Fruit means sharing the good news, bringing other people the joy of knowing Jesus, seeing the difference he makes in their lives. That is bearing fruit. Okay? And sometimes the most unlikely of people are best at it. But this passage is not about the person to whom the message is given. It's about whether or not they are part of the vine. What do you think he means, like, you must be part of the vine? What do you think that means in real life? If you've got to bear fruit, you must be part of the vine. What do you think that means in real life? What must we be part of? Yes. We must be part of Jesus. We must be grafted into him, connected to him every day of our life, living, breathing. What else must we be part of? The church. That's right. The church. We can't do it on our own. One branch doesn't make a vine. You need lots of branches, all connected into Jesus. That's what makes a vine. And when I think back to Derek, and I think back to Andrea, I can begin to see where the problem set in. Because I think they thought they could do it on their own. And the lovely thing about all of this is that if we abide in Jesus, he will look after us. He will hang on to us. He will keep us going. He will make sure we bear fruit. Our job is simply to abide in him, and he will do the rest. Right, now let's have that slide. Oh, that was just a check of that. Yeah, I've used this slide before. Can you all see it? It's the four phases that we go through. Well, it's the four phases that the disciples went through when they were following Jesus. And I think we all go through those four phases too. The first phase is the top one. It's the enthusiastic one. Jesus says to them, follow me. And they go and follow him. And they're enthusiastic and they're confident. But all of that enthusiasm and confidence is placed in Jesus. It's not placed in themselves. It's all placed in Jesus. Follow me, he says. Yes, he said, whoa. And Jesus is a great guy and everybody's following him and they're sort of carried along with it. They know nothing about where they're going. So their knowledge is almost non-existent and their experience is non-existent. They're inexperienced, ignorant. So that first phase is the enthusiast phase. And then we come to the hesitator phase. They're following Jesus and then things start to get slightly more tricky. He starts to ask them to do things. He says, I want you to go and sit beside someone you haven't sat beside for a week. Oh, no, he doesn't say that. He says, I want you to go out and heal the sick, just like you've seen me doing. And they go, oh, hang on a second. And what's more, they start to notice that not all that many people are following him anymore. Some have drifted away because they don't like it. And what's more, they begin to notice that some of the more powerful people don't like him at all, and they're beginning to plot, and they're associated with him. So they begin to think, have I done the right thing here? I mean, I've left I've left everything, I've followed Jesus, and I'm not sure if I've done the right thing. So that's the hesitator phase, you see? Less enthusiasm and confidence, but growing experience and knowledge, because Jesus is letting them do it themselves. And that's the do not be afraid phase. And then we come to the learner phase. You get around the corner. All the negativity slowly starts to turn the corner, and you move into the learner phase. If you think about the disciples, they're beginning to learn. They're beginning to share Jesus' vision about what it's all about. They now have a very shared experience. But also the large numbers have all faded away and there's just a few of them left now. I do not call you servants, but friends, says Jesus. This is the third phase of discipleship where people are really learning. And they're almost Jesus' equal. They're a real bunch of pals together now. They all really beginning to get it, what it's all about. And then we get into the leader phase. This is where he's preparing them for leadership. He says, right at the very beginning, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And he says, right at the very end, go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. Now, by now, they're enthusiastic, they're confident, they're experienced, they know what it's all about, and they're almost leaders. And then at the end of that fourth phase, Jesus goes away. He does send his Holy Spirit. But he expects his disciples then to carry on and to make other disciples who will be enthusiastic and then hesitating and learn. And then the cycle goes on and goes on and goes on. I first heard about this through my wife, Lindsay. And she first heard about this through going along to the Haggis house group. How many of you know the Haggis? Quite a few of you. Yeah, okay. Well, they used to have a house group where they looked at these life shapes. And that's where Lindsay first heard about it. And she came back and said, oh, that's really interesting. Yeah, no, that's quite good. You know, you should go and find. And then we had a men's group. And Knox started doing this stuff at the men's group. And he had DVDs of Mike Green talking. Oh, what's all this about? And it was when he got to the square that I thought, oh, this makes sense. Because I'm meant to be a leader, but I'm meant to be training other leaders. And I'm not very good at it. And looking at the square, I began to realize where I was going wrong. Because I was very good at, people came to me with an idea, I said, yeah, off you go. But I didn't go with them. See, the key about this square is Jesus walks with his disciples through every single phase. Every single phase, Jesus is with them. And the good leader is the one who goes with the disciples. So it's more like mentoring or apprenticing. Goes with the disciples through every phase. And my biggest problem was I was sending them off, but I wasn't going with them. So I learned a lot from that. But also, that square helps me, so I'm pointing to the one on the screen there, I should be pointing to this one, helps me understand a lot of the things that go on in the church. Like, for example, the Alpha course is a bit like the first side of the square. Hands up if you've been an Alpha course. Yeah, hands up if you liked it. Oh, you put your hand down. Yeah, everybody loves the Alpha course because you make friends and you eat pasta and you do all sorts of amazing things and you have deep conversation. And everybody loves it so much that by the end of the Alpha course, you say, right, good, that's great. Now apply it to your lives. And everybody goes, oh, does that really mean I've got to do this? Does that really mean I've got to stop doing that? Oh, I'm not sure. And it's a bit like going around the corner into that second phase. And guess what everybody likes doing at the end of an Alpha course? They don't like going around the corner in the second phase. They like to do another Alpha course because they like that bit. But if you want to grow in faith, you've got to go down the second side. Because only if you go down the second side, you get around the corner into the third side. And that's when God really is able to start using you. So I found that a very interesting way of understanding Alpha. I also found it a very interesting way of understanding the eldership. Because, you know, we train people, we call them to be elders, we train them, and then we say, right, off you go, look after these people. That's your job. And that's a bit like the side one of that. Hands up if you're an elder. Yeah. When you get round the corner, it's tough. It's tough. You think, oh, I'm not sure if I like this anymore. Oh, dear. And the job of a good leader is to still be there so that people can draw on your experience and your encouragement and get round the corner into side three. It's another thing that helps me understand is what goes on with our young people. It's like there's four seasons in a year. There's summer, and then there's autumn, and then there's winter, and then there's spring. Okay? And Stage and Slam is summer. Pows is summer. It is fantastic. You know, everything's fantastic. It's wonderful. You meet all these new friends, you do all these exciting things. Wow, you sing these, you've got these the club and you do zany things and people throw pies and food's great. You know, and everybody's wonderful. And that's like side one. Yes, I'm going to carry on with this. Yes, I'm going to do it. And then you get around the corner. So summer's now over. We're into autumn. You know, suddenly it's getting a bit tough. We go back to school. You see what I mean? It's the second side of the thing. And if you're still here by winter, if you manage to get past Christmas and you're still on board, then you're into the third side. And then you're starting to grow in your faith. And then spring is when God's polishing you up, getting you ready to go out and make disciples. So it helps me understand what goes on with the young people. And the reason I'm telling you all of this, why am I telling you all of this, is because I've got an exercise for you to do. Remember, I warned you about it at the beginning. Because what I've done is I've set up four stations. Hands up if you like trains. Yes. Okay, well, it's not that kind of station. I thought I'd make this station the enthusiast station. Okay? Because this is where you first come in when you come at the church and everything is welcoming, great, and there's food, you know, it's all great. Sometimes you get flapjacks, sometimes you get Aaron's baking. So here's the enthusiasts station. And I've put up the learning square there and I've cycled the enthusiasts, so it says enthusiastic and confident, but inexperienced and ignorant. Follow me, says Jesus, blah blah blah, enthusiast. I've also put some questions and I put a reading. And then at the back of the church. I've put the hesitant station. Less enthusiasm, less confidence. Oh dear, got to pick up a cross, have I? Oh dear. Sacrifice involved. It's going to be costly. And put a label here so everybody knows what it is. Jesus' words in the second phase are, do not be afraid. I'm still with you. I'm still with you. And I've put up some questions.
and I put a reading. Okay? And then over here, you can guess what's coming. Over here is the learner station. And this is for people who manage to get past the pain barrier of the hesitant station and get into the learner, get around the corner. So you're beginning to share Jesus' vision and experience, and you're growing in confidence. And Jesus said, I do not call you servants, but I call you friends. And here again on this table, because very chummy here, are some questions. And then finally, up here we have the leader station. Again, there's a wee diagram, all circled, so you know what it's all about. This is for people who are enthusiastic and confident. And Jesus is saying to you, go and make disciples. You've made it. You've made it right around the four sides of the square. Now go and make disciples. I'll be with you, but you've got to go and make disciples. And I put up a reading and put up questions. And what I'd like you to do is this. Just think to yourself for a minute. Where are you? Are you an enthusiast? Are you a hesitator? Are you a learner? Are you a leader? Where are you on that discipleship square? Which of those stations do you relate to most at this particular moment in your life? Because it can work on all sorts of levels. It can work in terms of your basic faith. It can work in terms of some project you're involved in. You're at the beginning, you're getting a bit hesitant. You're thinking, oh, I'm getting this sussed. You're thinking, oh, I could train others. You know, you can work on all sorts of different levels. So just think for a moment. Which of those are you at? And then go to it. And use the next 10 minutes to have a look at the reading, have a look at the questions, and maybe even share with the other folks there some of your experiences, some of your thoughts. And if you're really bold and courageous, maybe pray for each other. Yeah? Okay, well, I'll give you a minute, and then I'll ask you to move. Just a minute, and I'll pray first. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Jesus promised that he would be with us always to the very end of time. So it doesn't matter where we are on that learning square, Jesus is with us. And so we need not be afraid. And we ask now that you would give us the courage to know where you're wanting us to go tonight. And help us to learn from others we meet along the way. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Where is God wanting you to go tonight? Okay, off you go. Music, Derek.
I don't want to break up people's conversations, but just if you want to carry on talking, that's fine. If you want to carry on praying, that's fine. If you want a cup of tea, that's fine as well. Okay? And if you want to move around to some of the other stations, that's okay too.